Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Christmas Day game tomorrow in the NBA, as well as the NFL, but we don't need to talk about that right now. But Cavs do have a Christmas Day game, which, by the way, I understand that, like, especially I think when it comes to the NFL, that a lot of people are either for or against it. There's not much of an in-between. NBA's been on Christmas Day for a while. It has been a tradition. And I think for a lot of teams, it's a really cool place to be. Like, in a lot of ways, it is a signal that, especially when you're not a big market team, like, are the Lakers going to play on Christmas Day? Of course the Lakers are going to play on Christmas Day. There's a lot of times that goes, especially while LeBron's there, now Luke is there. Like, you're going to put stars on the screen that day for people to watch. But I think especially when you're a team like Cleveland, it just means a little bit more. You're being put in the national spotlight. Like, that's a game that I watch you and I look at the schedule when it comes out and I go, oh, you're playing the Knicks on Christmas Day. That is supposed to be the clear, determined number one versus number two Eastern Conference game. Let's see how it plans out. And I think some of that has been just, I guess, lost in the way that I feel for it. Had this been a true battle, not even just necessarily number one and number two, but it looked like it was two teams who are clearly playing at full strength, who looked like they're playing to their abilities. Let's go see the product that goes out there and look like a dogfight. I'm all in. I would have that same level of excitement, but it does feel like the Cavs that we've gotten over the past few weeks, and really for the entire start of this year, it feels like some of that Christmas Day mojo has been gone. Like, this would have been the game that I was waking up for tomorrow morning, and I was instantly, as I woke up, I'm like, of course. You know, it's Christmas, which I celebrate. I'm excited for Christmas. But I'm really excited to see what the Cavs do today with a, like, basically measuring stick matchup. Here's how you match up against the New York Knicks. Here's how the Eastern Conference looks. To the point where now I'm looking at it and going, I don't even know how much faith I have in the Cavs in this game because I haven't seen you play a good team and I haven't seen you play a ton of good teams competitively at any point this year. Like, I go back to the first Knicks game, pretty solid. It was a solid game that the Cavs had played while down Darius Garland. It was like that game, again, felt like it meant something, felt like it mattered. Where now I'm going through and I'm going, okay, well, this is now another matchup where I'm playing the Knicks. I don't have Evan Mobley. The Cavs have gotten back into a mojo, but it's against the Hornets and Pelicans. Like, if they just get blown out tomorrow, I'm just going to kind of shrug my shoulders. I mean, like, that's the expectation. This game feels a little bit more hollow. There is not that same level of excitement that I once had. And I can't sit here and blame anybody but the Cavs for it so far. If you want to blame injuries, I think there's a legitimate argument into that. But I don't even know what to expect for this game. Like Jake brought up during quick hits, are the vibes back for this team? And I think they are a little bit. I think Kenny Atkinson's clip that we played there, you know, makes you feel a little bit better about it, that, you know, Darius is feeling like there's a little bit more vibes. He's reminding Kenny to have fun. We're going through and seeing the bench actually have a little bit of life to it. But I almost feel like I'm going through and watching an underdog story on Christmas Day, which aren't supposed to be how most of these games are played. Supposed to feel like closer to even matchups. And naturally, through the course of an NBA season, like, again, not to bring up the NFL on Christmas Day, but go look at that. They expected three competitive games, and they're not getting three competitive games. At least they shouldn't be getting three competitive games based on who's playing. Again, there are just things that are out of your control, but this one, for the most part, is very much within the control of the two teams. Watch the Cavs be injured last year. I watched the Cavs continue to win games last year. I watched them continue to function with an offensive efficiency that was, I mean, bordering on record-breaking stuff. And this year, I've just lost a lot of it. Like, the main question that I'm going to have answered is whether or not the two games that I just watched were a fluke or whether or not the Cavs actually have something back to them. But this just looks like a game that I'm going to go into and expect the Cavs to be outmatched. I'm going to expect the New York Knicks, who have been going through that battle test, who have been playing better basketball than the Cavs have on a consistent basis, to just look like the better team. I don't think that bodes well for anybody's Christmas. I don't think that pushes through to make any of us feel better. But I mean, at the very least, it does at least signal the Cavs, I think, are getting up for this game. I think there is a little bit of a build towards momentum. In fact, Kenny Atkinson was speaking about this game and just how much the Cavs are looking forward to it.
Man, if you're not up for that, you better hang it up. Like, it's going to be fun. That's a celebration. To me, that's the marquee game in the NBA. I participated in it. There's nothing like going to the Garden at noon. But, you know, we're playing a heck of a Knicks team that's playing great. So it'd be a great challenge, but we're really looking forward to it.
And I agree with Kenny. Like, this does feel like, in the NBA, like, talk to me about a regular season game that feels like it means more than a Christmas Day game. There is a reason the Cavs would play the Warriors back in like 2016, 2017, those type of years, and they would play them on Christmas Day. Those are the matchups. Like, the NBA has tried to dominate the day of Christmas for a long time. They've been trying to get these to be everybody should want to tune in, and if nothing else, it should be your Christmas morning background noise throughout the rest of the day of like, at least it's on your TV and you're tuned in. Right? Because you're going to look up and you're going to see good basketball. This is a Cavs team that doesn't scream marquee matchup to me right now. I think I'm still waiting for that. I'll give a lot of credit to the Cavs where it's due. I think that you look at, especially a game like last night, you've had Sam Merrill back for the last two games, and if for some reason it feels like it has flipped a switch for the Cavs and their ability to shoot the ball. I mean, it is another threat along the three-point line that they've just been desperately missing. Because it feels like every guy that's gone down so far, Max Strus to start the year, Darius Garland to start the year, and, you know, here and there in between, Sam Merrill, it has been your best three-point shooters on a team that loves to shoot the three and did so at a very high clip last year. So I think, like, if nothing else, Sam's sitting there proving to you that there's a lot more of an impact that he's playing, almost in a scary way, considering he's a legitimate role player who probably won't be in the starting lineup when this team is fully healthy. I don't know how much of an impact that guy should be playing on your overall impact as a team. And I like Sam. But again, I feel like I'm kind of just wishing on magic. Like, he was shooting the ball so well from beyond the arc to a point that was not sustainable. Like, Sam Merrill was not going to consistently shoot the 60% from three that he was shooting to start the year. He's going to come back to earth. Even if he shoots a really good season, even if he's, you know, bordering on 40%+ from there, you know, as the season winds down, yeah, it's really impactful, but it's not going to be what it was. I just don't know how I'm looking at this team and going, okay, I get it. You're injured. It's going to play an impact. This Knicks team's really just not. Like, this is a team that's up for this game. This is a team that's ready to push forward, and a team that feels like they're where they should be right now in the Eastern Conference. I guess that's the biggest problem for me, is I'm waiting for the Cavs to return to the point that they should be in the Eastern Conference, while the Knicks have just maintained their spot there. They're not one right now, obviously, because the Pistons are having a great start to the year. But it goes back to what we talked about for the Cavs, even going back to the preseason. Like, I sat here and I was like, I don't need the Cavs to be the one seed. I need the Cavs to rip off 64 wins this year. If you show me that you're a team playing competitive basketball on most given nights, and the games that you actually have to get up for, you go out there and you get up for. That's all that really matters. And that's where the Knicks are at. It's like, okay, you're among the top of the Eastern Conference. You've kept yourself in a top four seed where you'd be hosting a home playoff series. That's great. Beyond that, like the Cavs have just fallen so far out of that rotation and have not shown it to me for so long. It just makes it difficult. I mean, Michael, you're a big basketball fan. Does this feel the same way that it did to start the year? Because, I mean, maybe you didn't even feel that way to begin with. This was like the matchup basically of the regular season for me that I wanted to see.
So, I mean, at least I'll say this. It's of all the teams playing on Christmas, the Cavs certainly are not the most offensive. Like the Mavericks are playing tomorrow. So there is that.
Oh, they've also thought they would have a little bit more help.
Also a horrible missed opportunity that Dallas is not playing the Lakers tomorrow. How is that not happening? We have the Rockets playing the Lakers, the Mavericks playing the Warriors. Like, I think we should switch that, but, you know, it's just me.
Listen, I don't know what the story writers are doing in the NBA. They could clearly miss the ball on that one. I would agree with you. Like, all right.
Luka should be going back to Dallas tomorrow.
Yeah, Luka versus Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg, essentially a what could have been if Dallas had just, I don't know, maybe kept Luka, and you can imagine all the different scenarios. I agree with you on that. I agree the Mavs are probably a little bit more offensive, although did beat the Nuggets last night. And Cooper Flagg looked good and Anthony Davis looked good.
But when it comes to the Cavs, I guess, I look at tomorrow almost as like, based on what we've seen the past two nights, like this almost feels like a statement game for the Cavs. Like it's like a litmus stick type of thing. Like, where are you now? Are you back or are you not? If they go out there and get hammered tomorrow, vibes are gone. It's reset the decks. But if they go out there tomorrow and it's a competitive game, they maybe lose close or they pull it out and they win, like then it's okay. The Cavs are back and it's for real. Like, that's what it feels like, which I agree with you, isn't what I think we wanted this matchup to be, where it's like the Cavs are kind of trying to prove themselves, but that's kind of where we are, and I'll take it. It's better than had they, you know, lost or not played so great the last couple of nights, and it was like, oh boy, like tomorrow could get ugly. I'm confident that they will come out tomorrow and be up for it. It'll just be a matter of whether or not they can win the game.
Yeah, listen, it's whether or not the talent lives there. I do think it's interesting what you bring up, because this can be... I think when we talk about the vibes for this team and getting up and playing for this game, this is really interesting that this can be, I'm not going to call it a turning point in the season, but I think it's a turning point for your next few games. Like, if the vibes have been up against the Hornets and they've been up against the Pelicans and you feel like you continue to press on and you feel like you look at these two games and you're like, okay, Cavs have flipped the vibes. They flipped the momentum. Going up against a team like New York, I mean, I can't help but think the guys in that room, they go out there and just get killed by New York, are going to go, here we go again. We're going right back to the way that we were just playing. We couldn't make shots. We couldn't stay competitive in this game. And on the flip, if you do go out and you play competitive or even win this game, I think that's all the momentum boost you could possibly ask for, which is going to carry over for at least a couple of games further.
And they need that because their schedule is rough coming up.
And they did not capitalize on the bad part of the schedule they just had. They could use the momentum. Problem is... you actually got to go out and capture it, and I think that's what scares me. 216-474-0092. Does the Christmas Day game for the Cavs feel more hollow after the recent play? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com, joins us to break down all thing Browns. Jake Volnick with you guys filling in for Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. To talk more Browns, to get an insight on Browns Steelers, what these next two games mean. Let's head out to the fan hotline. Covers the team for Cleveland.com. Joins Afternoon Drive every single Wednesday. It is Ashley Bastock joining us now. Ashley, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Jake. What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Ashley, we've never talked before. This is our first time having an interview together. We're going to figure out if we step off on the right foot. I want your favorite Christmas movie. Where is it?
My favorite Christmas movie is probably It's a Wonderful Life. I love it. I think it's a classic for a reason. If I had to pick a more modern one, I would go with Home Alone. And my favorite thing about Home Alone is everything is explained. Like, it's the perfectly written movie. And you can say, oh, well, like, this would never happen in 2020 or, like, 2025, whatever. The good thing about it is it's all explained and it makes sense for the time. So those are my top two for sure.
Well, I would say we start off on a great foot because those are both great choices.
Amazing.
Big fan of Home Alone, and my family has a thing for It's a Wonderful Life. We end up watching it every single year, so I have no knock towards it. It's a good movie. I have plenty of knocks for the Browns, and we're probably going to get into some of them. But I'll start things off. I hear so much right now about – Ownership has not made up their mind on Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry at this point, but probably more so Kevin. Do we feel like with two games left to go that that's the case, that it is still they're up in the air on what happens with the head coaching position by the time this year's over?
Yeah, you know, it is really so hard to try to get a grasp of what exactly is going on now. And I think that's like across the board for all of us. It's not like anyone's being told, oh, yeah, it's like everyone's fine, everything's safe, like don't worry about it. But we're not hearing definitively the opposite either. So I think we're still in that wait and see mode. And look, I think in theory, like maybe they might have an idea, but we'll still have to wait and see how these last couple of weeks go. And look, like the Bills game for me is an interesting example, right? Because I thought the Browns really, they obviously lose that game, but they kept it closer mostly than anyone would give them credit for. I don't think you saw them go out there and quit. Now, the flip side of that is this team has lost games to the New York Jets and Tennessee Titans that they should have won. I still am of the mind, like, I think Andrew Berry is going to be here regardless. And I think especially this past draft class really helped solidify it because he just absolutely nailed it along with this front office. And look, Carson Schlesinger is probably getting NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. If he doesn't, he should. And I think he should have been a Pro Bowler. The problem is he's a linebacker on a three-win team. But I do think Andrew Berry absolutely nailed this draft class. I think it gives the Browns a reason to keep him here. And I think with Kevin Stefanski and the coaching situation, we're still just going to have to kind of wait and see how things play out.
And knowing what these two games can potentially be, obviously Cincinnati now with a ton of wins, you can only imagine what Week 18 might look like. And even coming up this week, I mean, Steelers have a chance before the game actually kicks off on Sunday to have the AFC North all but locked up. If these two games end up being the worst possible case scenario where it's no starters playing, is there anything within those two games that you think could genuinely swing the organization one way or another when it comes to Kevin?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, that's what's so hard, I think, to gauge. And again, when you're dealing with especially ownership in the NFL, it's so hard to figure out what they're thinking and what could sway them one way or the other. And look, like, even when Jimmy Haslam has talked over the last year, there's been different things he said that people have latched onto, right? I think, like, at the owners' meetings, when he talked about Deshaun Watson being a swing and a miss and knowing it was going to be an uphill battle without them having a clear-cut answer at quarterback going into the 2025 season, it kind of was signaling at the time that, oh, like, these guys are going to be safe, meaning Andrew and Kevin regardless. But on the flip side of that, at training camp, everyone's kind of latched on to that comment he made about three wins isn't going to cut it. And if they go that way again, like, you do have to wonder, two straight losing seasons, two single-digit win seasons, like, what they're going to do as far as, if anything, these last couple of weeks can swing them one way or the other. It's hard to tell. Like, just because the Browns aren't playing for anything, I mean, I will say if the Browns show some fight in each of these last two games, if they would come up with wins, it would say something to me that they didn't quit despite the circumstances. But, of course, if they lose, we all know it's better for the draft positioning. So there would still obviously be that benefit in not winning these games. But, you know, they still have to be concerned with the product on the field. So it is just really, really difficult to say right now.
And Ashley Bastock with us here on the Fan Hotline. We heard from Joel Bitonio today kind of give his defense of Kevin Stefanski and being the coach here next year. Does that hold any weight beyond just, we know the players like to play for him, and we know Joel's a guy that has stuck up for him and been fond of Kevin in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think that should hold some weight, especially because this isn't just like a player saying that to get in good graces with his head coach, right? I mean, Joel Bitonio is a Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro player. He's the longest tenured member of this Browns roster, and he has been through the ringer and the ups and downs with this organization. Obviously, he's had a couple of playoff seasons with them. He also was a part of the infamous 1-31 stretch, and I think, like, Joel's affinity for Kevin Stefanski is understandable when you consider he's been a part of such pure chaos here, from Hugh Jackson to the Freddie Kitchens year. Like, his head coach has not always been the adult in the room, so to speak, but Kevin Stefanski has. So I think it's understandable why Joel feels that way. I think it should carry some weight, especially when you consider, I mean, I know I've seen and heard fans asking, like, does Kevin Stefanski have this locker room? Does he have buy-in from this locker room? I think it's meaningful for Joel Bitonio to come out and give that sort of support publicly for Kevin Stefanski.
Ashley, you brought up the idea of improving the draft position. So I want to ask you, when it comes to the organization, what should mean more, getting a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday or getting a better draft position come April?
I like this big picture sort of thinking. Look, it's interesting because I am, like, one of the most negative people when it comes to the draft in general. Like, we have this joke about a lot of the times I feel like draft picks are marketing strategies, right? They're unknown entities. And that's why when they traded away from Travis Hunter in this year's draft, I was like, okay, so you're trading away from a guy who everyone is, you know, fairly confident is going to be an early contributor and is very talented for the possibility of different talent next year. Like, it's always this kind of carrot you can dangle and say, well, we have these draft picks. But, I mean, in theory, the win against the Steelers really would mean nothing. Like, I mean, I guess it's always good to beat the Steelers and it's good for fan morale, but if you're still talking about draft picks as the marketing strategy and going after a top-tier talent guy in the top three picks, in theory, that should be more meaningful. Now, I am, like, still the person that's going to be the most down on that possibility because we don't know what the draft class looks like. You don't know what exactly they're going to do with the pick, et cetera. But realistically, I think you look at the future of the organization as a whole, and the draft pick just means more because the Browns aren't playing for anything this season.
Well, obviously, the higher-up draft pick could mean quarterback. It's a conversation we've been having. Given the entire situation that I laid out with the Steelers and the division and everything, how does that sort of change what the next two games can mean for Shador and what he's able to prove?
Yeah, so I think, like, the unfortunate thing for Shedeur Sanders is, like, he was just given this really small sample size, right? And I think he's done a lot to maximize it. You know, the Chicago game was a step back, but I think he took another step forward this past week against the Bills. And I'm reminded of one of Andrew Berry's favorite quotes about development not being linear. So I think we've seen that from Shedeur already. And what's going to be a small sample size that, look, it's not fair that he only has 7 games or 7.5 games, but it's what he's working with. So I think what he needs to show in these next couple of games is basically what he's been showing, which is he's not repeating mistakes. I think that's huge for rookie quarterbacks. Like, he will have throws he wants back, right? You think about the interception from a few weeks ago that he threw towards Gage Larvidan, but he hasn't made another pick quite like that one since then. And I thought on Sunday against the Bills, he showed how elusive and mobile he can be, which he certainly was not given enough credit for across the board throughout the draft process. So I think if he keeps showing those things, keeps showing, hey, I'm not going to make the same mistakes. What he's making it easier for, I think, everyone to do is look at this team and think, man, what would Shedeur Sanders look like if he had one or two more really good first-round talent pass catchers around him? If he had an offensive line that wasn't comprised entirely of backup. So I really think Shedeur Sanders just keeps need to be himself over these last couple of weeks. Don't start repeating mistakes. And he will have made, I think, a good case for this team, the best possible case that he can make as one person, as one quarterback, that he should be the guy. And then I think everyone goes from there.
And again, Ashley Bastock with us. All right, we've talked about Kevin, a little bit about Andrew Shedeur. The two games, we've laid out them all. What are these two games? Who does it mean more for between those three guys?
Ooh, between those three guys, you know, I would say probably Shedeur Sanders at this point, just because no one knows what they're going to do. And I think Shedeur needs to make his best possible case. I think it's like around January 23rd or so that the Browns will have a better idea of who is even coming out in this draft. But I think until then, like, we're not really going to know what direction they're leaning. And I think just knowing the fact they're not really playing for anything, knowing the fact that, hey, everyone already knows how good this draft class is. I don't think there's much more Andrew Berry needs to do in that regard. Like, we still just don't know where they stand on the coaching thing, which makes me think, like, this means the most for Shedeur Sanders and in figuring out what direction this team is going to go at quarterback, because maybe that will also influence what they do at head coach. And, like, if they decide Shedeur is the guy, getting a head coach or staying with Kevin Stefanski, who's going to be best for him? I think that then also becomes part of the equation. So by that extension, I think what Shedeur Sanders does is also important for Kevin Stefanski. So I'm going to go with Shedeur on that one.
All right, Ashley, looking to the defensive side of the ball. Hey, between the entire, you know, being able to break a record in 16 games, now the season expanded to 17, how much more pressure is on Miles to go through and at least get that half sack, if not just break the record with a full sack on Sunday?
I think there is certainly pressure on this situation now. And look, I think we're going to have to see what the Steelers do. But in terms of if they clinch the division on Saturday, will they play their starters on Sunday? Will they play Aaron Rodgers? If they do play Aaron Rodgers, Myles Garrett has never sacked him in his career. They've only played each other two times in 2021 in Green Bay in that Christmas Day game that the Browns lost, and then earlier this season. And when they played earlier this season, Aaron Rodgers quick-gamed this defense. He was getting the ball out so fast and didn't allow Myles Garrett to take that game over or to get a sack. So I think then you're talking about, okay, if he doesn't get a sack this week again, it's breaking the record in the final week, and there's not really much more pressure than that. I guess the flip side of that is he's obviously had a ton of success against the Bengals in doing that. But I think it's also true that we all think and talk about the record more than Myles Garrett does. So I don't know how much pressure he feels exactly, but I think it's worth noting, like, the clock is kind of winding down here, and one of these opponents he doesn't have a career sack against.
Ashley, we always appreciate the time, especially around the holidays. So I wish you a happy holidays. And hopefully we got to talk for the first time. Hopefully we get to talk again sometime in the near future.
All right. Sounds good, Jake. Thanks for keeping this on the rails this week. Great job.
Listen, Nick and JP can go anywhere. I only got one person. If Nick was here, it might just go off the rails. It might not have control. But I did all right today.
Super
just
valid.
Keep it fine. Thanks,
Super
Ashley.
Valid. All right. Thanks, Jake.
Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com with us there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to some of what she had to say as well. Jake Murren apparently has some disastrous Christmas movie takes that I'm going to have to push back on. It's coming your way in 5 minutes. Hey, it's Jake Volnick in for Nick and JP here on Afternoon Drive. And go back, listen, really good stuff out of Ashley, including just the, I mean, basically sidebar of, which makes a lot of sense, just the idea that it feels like Andrew Berry is going to be back no matter what at this point. And listen, like, you could certainly make an argument for Andrew Berry to be fired, and I've made that argument before. You can also go through and basically look around and say, okay, you look right now and you look at the draft class that he put out, you can make an argument for it. If you gave him the extra year, I think you can make the argument the other way. But Kevin feels so up in the air in such an odd spot right now that it is just really difficult to, I think, warrant coming back. But at the same time, like, you just have no feel for where this team currently stands. You have no feel that there's nobody saying, yeah, they're going to be there. There's no worries. We're moving forward with them. There's also not an overwhelming feeling of, oh, that guy's going to get fired. Like, I think a lot of the fans feel that way. I feel that way. I don't think Kevin will be back, but the organization's really not pushing you one way or another. Just a interesting final two games that we have in front of us. But right now, let's bring in Jake Murren, because apparently we also have some very interesting Christmas movie takes that, Jake, we talked before the show. I don't know what these are, but you gave me a very brief disclaimer of, like, I have takes. Here's two movies. What do you think? And you go, we should talk about this.
Yeah, we can even bring Michael Markoch into this as well, because I'm interested what both of you guys think, because growing up, I really didn't watch a ton of Christmas movies. And now in my young 20s, I'm finally trying to catch up on them. Like, I watched Jingle All the Way for the first time last year. Loved that movie. I know you enjoyed it too, Jake. And, well, this past weekend, I watched two Christmas movies for the first time, and they're on, like, two complete different sides of the spectrum for me in terms of good to great and just terrible Christmas movie. And they were National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Home Alone 2. I've seen Home Alone 1. I've seen it several times. Love it. But I've never actually seen the sequel. Well, I made the viewing to watch both of those this past weekend, and Christmas Vacation, absolute terrible movie, wasted my time watching it, but Home Alone 2, at least top three Christmas movie of all time, better than the original, and it was fantastic, 10 out of 10, no notes.
I mean, this is, yeah, no, I can see why I'm upset. This is blasted. Top three Christmas movie of all time, Home Alone 2. I mean, I'll start there. We're going to get into Christmas Vacation. Don't think you get off the hook on that one.
But, yeah, that was just bad.
Okay, then maybe we go there first. What part of that movie is bad? I just had this conversation.
So if it's 2 hours long, I'd say all 2 hours of it were bad. I will never get that time back in my life. It wasn't funny. They didn't go on vacation, and I just wasn't... I don't know. I wasn't entertained by a single thing. I was actually having a hard time staying awake during this movie.
You're held up by the fact that they didn't go on vacation. It's a Christmas vacation.
I was annoyed by that.
It's like you have vacation from everything else because of Christmas.
So obviously, that's part of the point. Obviously, like, Christmas Vacation is a well-known and beloved movie. It's a classic, a historical one, and I was excited to watch it for the first time because I've heard so many great things. So maybe it just let me down, but I started it and I was like, okay, yeah, I've heard things about, you know, this scene where they're in the car and they're driving under the semi truck and all that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is enjoyable. And they drove off the road. I'm like, yeah, I like this so far. And then just everything that followed was just bad. Just bad.
I mean, we don't find any joy in Cousin Eddie. I think Cousin Eddie's hilarious. We don't find any joy in the other, like, I can't remember the grandmother's name in it, but when the grandma say they go to do a prayer at dinner and she starts singing the Star Spangled Banner, or no, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
That's not funny too. Like, I find that hilarious.
Okay, that was probably one of the more funny moments in the entire movie, but it took the 2 hours to get to it because it was the final scene and everything that led up to it. I could not get behind. But Home Alone 2 was what I watched first on Saturday night, then went to Christmas Vacation, which completely ruined the night. But Home Alone 2, fantastic movie, 10 out of 10. There were so many things that just hooked me throughout it, and everything had a payoff.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And I absolutely loved it.
It's like, I don't have a problem with Home Alone 2. I just don't think it's anywhere near the first. You said it's better. You think it clears the first one?
So the pranks in it are better than the first one. So the first one I enjoyed. I smiled throughout. I've seen it several times. I enjoy Home Alone. But Home Alone 2, I was actually like belly laughing during the pranks. Like what he was doing to the Wet Bandits, like they were actually funny skits and they were just getting so messed up. I thought it was hysterical for what it was in those moments, but it also had the storytelling of obviously him being in New York by himself. And then even like the turtle doves, and I won't spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it, even though I'm sure you have,
but watch out.
I know.
Like, but the whole turtle is late,
but the whole turtle dove storyline too. Like I loved how that paid off. And yeah, I just thought it was a great movie.
I mean, listen, I love Home Alone as much as the next person. It's one of my top Christmas movies. Those movies are just basically slapstick comedy. That's 90% of the movie is like, oh, watch this guy get smacked in the head by a paint can. And it's like, yeah, it makes me laugh. Like, I enjoy that part of it. Like, I mean, you look, it's like, it's basically Three Stooges comedy of like, oh, this is dumb and they're getting hit. Now, there's a better storyline to Home Alone than that, but like,
yeah,
I don't feel the appeal. Also, you want to talk about a storyline that just doesn't make sense. How do you lose your kid twice? How do you forget about your kid on vacation, not once, but two times? And then, I mean, there's a Home Alone 3 with different actors, but like,
so I think the second one makes a little bit more sense because it was at the airport and he was struggling to keep up and just they were running late and he got lost. So I think that makes a little bit more sense how he ended up on a completely different flight. Yeah, sure, that bends the rules. Home Alone 1, though, like even what Ashley just said in the last segment, she was like, yeah, that's kind of how it was back then. You wouldn't be totally surprised. I mean, sure, like Kevin's parents.
How many kids are getting on flights in New York?
Kevin's parents, completely terrible. I'm not disputing that, but they created for some great moments that I enjoyed, especially Home Alone 2 more than the first one. But, I mean, we could even bring Michael Markoch in. What do you think?
So, I have a confession to make. I have not seen any of the Home Alones.
You've never seen a Home Alone movie?
See,
never
that's why I didn't all. Spoil it, Jake.
I mean, I guess good on you, because you saved Michael. I mean, he's got to watch the first one before this.
I have not seen Home Alone or Home Alone 2.
You're running out of time. I mean, it's almost Christmas is almost over now. I mean, we can't bring this back up in December and be like, now I've watched them. Got to get these done.
Also, I do not have the specific streaming service that has Home Alone. So that's another issue. It's just not like, you can't always find it. I didn't see Christmas Vacation until last year either. I disagree with Jake's take that it's just horrible. Well, Jake Murren's take. I do think it's a hair overrated of a movie, but I wouldn't say it's like the worst Christmas movie I've ever seen.
Before I had the night show, I would play a bar trivia on Tuesdays, like closer to home. And I was off yesterday, so I got the opportunity to go play trivia there, and they did a Christmas trivia. I can't believe how many people have not seen this movie. Like, this is now like, you just watched it last year. Jake just watched it this year. The guy who runs my trivia on Tuesdays has not seen it and refuses to see it. This is like...
He should wait.
No, yes. There is no way. This is a movie that people... Also, like, I don't know. It's set up in a time that was obviously before. Some of the comedy probably misses a little bit. But, like... I can't imagine. Out of all the movies to be against, now, we are both Elf fans, though, right?
Yeah, Elf is number one.
Okay.
Elf is number one. I have How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Jim Carrey, number two. But Home Alone 2, number three, right on that Christmas movie list. There isn't even a spot for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, though. I mean, that was just bad. Even going into the viewing, I had no idea that it was called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I was like, what's the National Lampoon part have to do with it? So then my wife was like, yeah, it's this whole series. There's like 12 of them. And I was like, okay, well, do I have to see any of the other ones first? And obviously we didn't. And we went into Christmas Vacation. And again, could not enjoy myself anymore.
Now listen, Christmas Vacation is by far the best one. So if you don't like that, don't even... I'm going to tell you not to waste your time.
Yeah, Meredith was talking me into like Vegas Vacation or whatever, but... Christmas Vacation did nothing for me.
I don't think the other ones quite live. I mean, there's some okay ones, but definitely don't need to go see all 12. And if you didn't like those, good chance you're not going to like the other ones either. All right, bad take out of you, Jake, but good stuff. When we come on back, we're going to talk to Cash Lovett as well. Climb into a little bit more on what this game means for Shador on Sunday and how people are going to view it. It's all coming your way in 5 minutes. Jake Volnick, in for Nick and JP, right here on Afternoon Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.